Good morning. Welcome to Tramway Baptist Church. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We want to welcome all of our visitors. This is a wonderful place to be. We have the best pastor in Lee County. Amen. And do I? How many are truly happy to be here this morning? Raise your hand. How many are so happy to be here this morning, going to be back next week? Raise your hand. That's good. And how many are so happy that you're going to be back next month, next Sunday, and bring somebody with you? Raise your hand. Yeah, see, I got some of you, didn't I? Okay. Invite somebody to church this week. Tell them how wonderful our pastor is and what all we've got going on here at Tramway. It's truly a blessing to see the growth of this church in the last year or so. And it's we know it's all God's doing. It's not a thing we've done. So we're here as his vessels, and we're here to serve him. So there's a few announcements this morning. If you'll notice the bulletin in the bulletin, we're kind of doing things a little differently. So, anyway, if you have a bulletin, if you'll turn to the inside of that bulletin, on the right-hand side, there's August. And there's a couple things that's going on in August, and if you're a part of that, make a note so that you'll be here on time, be here where you're supposed to be. COC food collection is next Sunday. And we encourage you to bring food for our local CUOC organization. Prayer walk for schools is also next Sunday. Wednesday, we're going to vote on the nominations that the nominating committee has put together. So I encourage you to be here. And the reason I encourage you to be here is because if you vote for what the nominating committee has suggested, or if you vote against it, you've got room. But if you're not here, shh, be quiet. Don't want to hear it. You give away your chance to be heard. So I encourage you to be here. There's a lot of work went into that, and need to be here. Got a bunch of stuff for September. Look in your bulletins there. You can see that. We have a church business meeting on August the 25th at 6:30. That is the nominating committee votes that we're going to be voting on. And also, we're going to be voting on our new youth director. So we have a someone who's going to start our youth department back up, and we're looking forward to that. There's a lot of youth here even today, I can see. And we are tickled to death. And would you stand up, please, so everybody can see who you are? This is Mrs. Battiato. So we're looking forward to the Lord working through her and creating a good youth program, because the children and the youth are the future of this church. It's not us. So, and also, I would like to read at the very bottom a COVID update. You know, we get questions about this, and the Deacon Board is closely monitoring the situation surrounding COVID in Lee County. We encourage each of you to use your discretion regarding the use of masks and social distancing. The Deacon Board will keep the congregation updated to any changes. So between the deacons and the church council, as we progress through what looks to be like an increase in COVID, we will we'll let you know what direction we think we should go. Just keep in mind, prayer is what we need to be doing. Pray about it. We've been there. We've done that. We've done the outside service. We've done the inside service. We know where we're going. So it's not new territory. So we've got it worked out. It's just a matter of timing. So if you feel like you want to wear a mask or you need to wear a mask, by all means, do that. And there are actually some be provided in the back. So anyway, this morning, we have some special prayer requests that One of our folks here is Tommy Smith. He is on a ventilator with COVID. He's hanging in there. They say he's not, everything that's going on with him right now is curable. They can do something about it, but some folks here would like to have a special prayer for him this morning, and that's what we're going to do. Also, we have another lady in the community, Darla Cole, who had some issues with her son this week, and she's actually in the hospital, and she's been a member of this community for a long time, and she needs our prayers too. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to have a few minutes of silent meditation. Pray for these folks that are sick and that need our help. Pray for this church, pray for our pastor, and pray for each other, because the Lord has directed us not to forsake the fellowship of each other. That's something that we're supposed to do, and you're doing it today by being here. We are honoring God, and that's a choice that we make. When we got up this morning, we decided that we were going to come to church, and by doing that, we honored the Lord. And you know, it's kind of difficult to lay in the bed and say, oh, boy, I don't feel like going to church or honoring the Lord this morning. So think about that when you're laying in the bed next time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this time, please know that we are here to honor you. Lord, we love you. We seek your guidance. Lord, we pray a special request and prayer for Tommy Smith. Lord, guide the doctors that are working with him. Use their knowledge from you to suppress this disease and to make him well. Lord, we know that miracles can happen. We know that those miracles come from you. Lord, we also know that things happen and we don't understand sometimes. But we always know that whatever happens is through you and from you. Lord, so we pray a special requested prayer this morning for Tommy. Lord, heal him, comfort the family, and bring him back to us. Lord, we also pray for Darla Cole and her family situation and her injuries and all of the things she's going through, Lord. We know that you can heal even the worst broken heart and heal the worst disaster. Lord, we know that, and we trust you for those things. Lord, we also want to pray for our pastor. Lord, guide him as he leads us over the next many years to glorify you and to worship you in a way that is unseen in Lee County. Lord, we know your thoughts are not our thoughts, and we know your ways are not our ways. But we know your way is the right way. And we trust that you will show that to us, strengthen us, and give us all that we need to go through these trying times. Lord, it's not the first time that the world has had trying times. But we know that you created this world, that you're in control of this world, and we trust you for that. Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Things changed so much, I was in the wrong spot. We're going to stand, and as Walter said, we're doing stuff a little different today. So we're going to stand and sing the family prayer song together, and then go into hymn number 2, Holy, 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 and we'll sing the first, third, and fourth verses of that. So let's stand and join in the family prayer song.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for everything that you've granted us. Thank you for making each and every one of us so that through us, heaven can shine. Please help us so we can reach the lost souls of this world. May the offerings that are granted today, the tithes and everything that is given, may it nourish our church and help us in everything that we do so that it bring glory to you at all times. Thank you for all your love and your blessings you bestowed upon Tramway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. You'll see in your bulletin that it says now that the kids can leave for Children's Church if they would like to. And this might be a good Sunday to send the small ones out if you've got one with you. I'm giving you fair warning, all right? No, I'm being serious. So, the rest of you, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13 while they're scrambling, and I'll give you a minute. Ooh, looks like they had their hands full today. So we just finished the book of Colossians. We went through that for several weeks. And what we're about to do now is we're going to start a new sermon series where we're going to go through the patriarchs in the book of Genesis. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And what we're going to do is we're not going to cover every single story about them because that would take absolutely forever. But we are going to cover a lot. And what we're going to be studying is how God demonstrates his faithfulness in these stories. As we go through these stories about the patriarchs, you're going to see that again and again and again, God shows us how faithful he is in different situations, with different people, people who deserve it, people who don't deserve it. That's what we're going to be studying. So now, let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, I come to you now and I thank you for this time that we have together to worship you and to study your word. I pray, God, that you would use this service for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would help me with this sermon, Lord. Help me to say things that are true. Help me to say them clearly and accurately. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds as we look at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, all last week, I spent the week kind of trying to figure out what stories we should look at, what stories we should cover, because there's tons of them. And some of them are really exciting, and some of them are really not. But I still kind of feel like I should cover both, you know. And so then I was trying to figure out where we should start at, you know, because, I wanted this to go really well. So I'm studying. And then I come across this question. I could not figure out why the book of Genesis spent so much time talking about Lot. Raise your hand if you remember Lot in the book of Genesis. Okay, most of you. It was weird, and whenever I find something like that, I kind of obsess over it, which sometimes can be bad, but sometimes it helps me find something really interesting. And so I started obsessing over it because I was thinking, you know, when you hit Genesis chapter 12, the Bible goes from talking about all of mankind kind of in general to now we're talking about like this specific family, right? We've got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and it pretty much only talks about these people and their family. I mean, Esau was the oldest child of Isaac, and after a point, we don't even hear about him, and he's in the family. So I was looking at it, and I was going, why do we spend all these chapters talking about Lot? When I was a kid, I thought that Lot was like Abraham's brother because we talked about him so much. He's not even his brother. He's just like a random nephew, you know? So I thought, okay, he has to be in here for a reason. And so instead of figuring out what I should preach on to begin with, I just kept digging on Lot, trying to figure out what was up with this. And I think I figured it out. And I think it's actually pretty interesting, okay? But I got to give you some background information first. So one thing that you have to understand before we get to that is that several times in the book of Genesis, God has told mankind, I want you to spread out. I don't want you to congregate together. I want you to spread out, to fill the earth, and the people won't listen. They keep congregating together and making cities. God tells mankind in chapter 1 and in chapter 9, spread out, get away from each other. Spread out. And we're not really sure what's going on. I got a couple of guesses, you know. I think what it could be is that God knows that mankind can be wicked and sinful. And he knows that the more of them that congregate in one area, the worse it can get. Does that make sense? And so it's kind of like, if you have more than one child, have you ever just looked at them and said, get away from each other? Have you ever done that? Okay, I think it might be like that. It might be that God knows we're sinful, knows that we can get into trouble, and so he's looking at mankind going, just get away from each other. Or it could be that God wants us to depend on him He wants us to depend on Him to provide for us and to lead us. And He knows that whenever we congregate, we tend to focus on each other. We tend to depend on, you know, the people around us to get by and things like that. And so maybe He wanted them to spread out so they would focus more on Him. It doesn't really matter. The point is that God told them several times to spread out. And whether they understood why or not, they should have just spread out, right? And so He keeps telling them over and over. And then in the chapter right before we really get into Abraham, we had the Tower of Babel story. Y'all remember that? You remember? Let me read this to you. This is Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. It says, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth.'" And so God's told them multiple times, spread out, get away from each other. And mankind says, great, we're going to do the exact opposite. In fact, they say, not only are we going to do the opposite, but we're going to do this so that we don't do what you've asked us to do. Do you see that? And look at their reasoning, because they want to make a great name for themselves. And so y'all remember the story. They build the tower. God comes down and He's displeased. He confuses their language. And then He scatters them, right? Okay. That's chapter 11. At the very end of chapter 11 is when we first hear about Abraham. He's still called Abram at that point, but I'm just going to call him Abraham today so that I don't get mixed up, okay? You know who I'm talking about. At the end of chapter 11, after God's told him multiple times to spread out, and after God has come down and made them spread out again at the end of the Tower of Babel story, we hear about Abraham and his extended family, and we hear about how they are moving to the big city. That's what's at the end of chapter 11. So I need y'all to see this tension. Do y'all see how there's this tension in the book of Genesis between God wanting them to spread out, to get away from each other, and mankind not listening? Or nod your head if you're with me. Okay, all right, you got to understand that. Okay, so let's get into the Abraham story. So this is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" This is one of the most important texts in the Old Testament. This is the beginning of something huge, something that will like shake the heavens and rock the earth. It's going to echo all throughout the Old Testament, and it's going to be fulfilled in the New Testament, and it affects every single person in this room. But we're not talking about that this week. That's next week, okay? What I want y'all to see is that here at the very beginning of Abraham's life, God is basically saying, "Abraham, I want you to leave the city. I want you to leave this country that you're familiar with, and I want you to follow me." Do y'all see the tension playing out? Mankind doesn't want to listen to God. Mankind keeps grouping together in these cities and doing their own thing. And so God finally says, okay, everybody doesn't want to listen, so I'm going to take this one guy, this Abram guy, and I'm going to work on him and through him. And so He leads Abraham away from all that so that it's him following God. Makes sense? And so then we're going to get to today's passage. Remember I told you that the question I kept getting hung up on was, why do we talk so much about Lot? Why does Lot matter? Why do we care about Lot? Listen to Genesis 13, 8 through 13. It's not going to be on the screen. You got to look in your Bible, okay? Genesis chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. It says, "Then Abram said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right hand, then I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The reason that the Bible talks so much about Lot in the book of Genesis is because we're supposed to take Lot and Abraham and we're supposed to compare and contrast them. I want you to see what's going on here. Abraham, as the patriarch of that family, the older guy, it was totally his decision who went where. Abraham did not owe Lot anything, and Abraham could have very easily said, I'm going to go to the fertile area. I'm going to go to this valley over here. You head that way. He could have said, you go this way, that way. But instead, what Abraham did was, he said, you know what? You go wherever you want to go. I'll be fine. And so Lot chose to go where? Where did he head back to? He headed towards Sodom. He looked up and headed back towards the city. And Abraham heads off to Canaan, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And you have to ask yourself, well, why did Lot choose Sodom? Why did he decide to go that way? Well, the Bible says that that area looked very fertile, so he was probably thinking, okay, I've got, you know, herds, I've got livestock, it'll do well there. But it doesn't say that he just settled in the valley. It says that he pitched his tent next to Sodom, right? And so you think, well, why would he do that? Well, on paper, it's probably the smart move because the world was full of thieves and robbers and there was threats of violence. So he might have thought, if I move next to Sodom, that'll give me some protection. He might have thought, if I need anything, you know, I'm living next to the big city, I can go in there and get it. He might have just thought that it would be exciting to live in the city instead of the middle of nowhere. Could be that. And then you have Abraham, who, you know, on paper, it doesn't look like he made the right decision. He has no idea what's in that direction, and there isn't a big city. So it seems like Lot would do better. But let's look how their lives actually turned out, okay? Abraham goes off, follows the Lord, depends on the Lord, and we know that he is greatly blessed. We know that Abraham had a very large family, lots of men that worked for him. God blessed his herds, blessed him financially, and Abraham was blessed in ways that are much more important than all that. And then here's what happens to Lot. Lot moves to the city. He starts out in verse 10, we're told that he just looks at the city. And then we're told in verse 12 that he pitches his tent next to the city. We find out later that he's moved into the city. And then later on in Genesis, we find out that he's not just living in the city, he's one of the elders of the city. Okay? You see how there was this gradual move more and more into the city? And here's what happens to Lot. He thought the city would protect him. Well, the city actually got conquered by some other guys, and Lot gets enslaved. He's taken captive and enslaved, and Abraham and his men have to go and save Lot. And then later on, both Lot and his daughters are almost raped and killed by people there in the city. God pours out his wrath on the city, destroys the city. Any financial things, any flocks, any herds, any type of wealth that Lot would have had, that got blown up basically. And not even just that, when Lot was leaving, he lost his wife. Do you guys remember all this? And so on paper, it looks like Lot made the right decision. I'm going the safe route. I'm moving into the city. And it led to his disaster. And on paper, it looked like Abraham made the foolish decision. Well, I'm just going to do whatever God tells me to. This doesn't really make sense, but I'm going to depend on him. And yet we see that Abraham was blessed abundantly. And I need y'all to understand something. The Bible does not make Lot out to be a villain. It doesn't make him out to be an evil man. It makes him out to be a stupid man, but not an evil man. He didn't just decide one day, I'm going to turn my back on God, and I'm going to go in the opposite direction. The Bible doesn't call him evil. It's kind of a gradual, slow thing. Remember, he starts off in verse 13, setting his tent up outside the city. In verse 14, we find out that he's living in the city. Excuse me, chapter 14. And then in chapter 19, when we get to the story about Sodom, it says that Lot is sitting at the gates of the city. And what that means is that he's an elder. In that society, all the elders, the men who ran the city, would sit outside the gate, and they would make decisions, they would make rulings. You see, Lot doesn't start off as a villain. He doesn't deliberately turn his back on God, but he pitched his tent next to Sodom. He didn't listen to God. And slowly over time, he got pulled in and swallowed up by this wicked city. Do y'all see that? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Okay, we've been talking a while, enough with the history lesson, enough with the background information. Pastor, what does this have to do with me? Why do I care about this? I'll tell you. I'm worried that some of y'all have pitched your tent outside of Sodom. I'm worried that there might be a few of you that have already moved into Sodom. And I'm worried that some of y'all are already being swallowed up by the city. And here's what I mean by that. We had this example of Lot, who started off moving next to the city. Instead of following God like Abraham, instead of listening to God, instead of depending on God to provide for him, and instead of making God the foundation, the center of his life, Lot decides that he's going to basically rely on the city, so society or culture, to provide for him, to make his family safe, maybe to make his family happy. And over time, he started to compromise with what he knew was wicked there in the city, and it led to his disaster for both him and his family. And what I'm worried about is that there might be a few of you who, instead of following God, both when it makes sense to you and when it doesn't make sense to you, instead of following God, and instead of making God the center of your life and relying on God to provide for you, I'm worried that there's a few of you who are doing the same thing as Lot. You're compromising and you're relying on something else to provide for you. You've built your life around something else besides God. Something besides God is leading you. And I don't want you to end up like Lot in a disaster. Does that make sense? Do you understand the analogy that I'm giving you? And so here's a few things. Here's a few Sodoms, if you will, that I think are really prevalent in our society. I think one of the most prevalent Sodoms, if you will, in our society is materialism and wanting to keep up with the Joneses. Greed, wealth, stuff. Some of us get so wrapped up in keeping up with the Joneses and acquiring things and stuff that it's like it swallows us up like the city of Sodom did Lot. And here's what I mean by that. You will spend way more hours working because you're spending way more money than you need to. You're trying to have the biggest house, the best house. You want to get a new car every couple of years. You got to have the latest clothes. And those things aren't going to make you happy. Those things are not going to fulfill you. And the problem is, the more that you get into that, the harder it is to keep up. It's not going to fulfill you. Instead, you could have had a modest lifestyle. Maybe you would have had a car that was a little bit older or a normal-sized house, and you could have spent more time with your spouse. You could have spent more time with your children. You could have spent more time on things that actually relate to God, which is what you're supposed to be doing. There are so many people who they focus on providing stuff for their children that they've neglected their children. I want you to hear me when I say that. You can give your child everything that they want. Any material thing they want, they can grow up in a big, fancy house. You can drive them around in a really nice SUV to every sporting event that they want to be involved in. They can have the newest clothes so that they fit in at school. And you can still be a neglectful parent. Do you understand that? It is more important that you provide your child a home where the foundation is Jesus Christ and His Word than it is that you provide for them stuff. Stuff will not fulfill you. It will not make you happy. And it's not what you're supposed to spend all your time working on, guys. And here's the thing. Excuse me. Anytime that you try to find your fulfillment in something besides Christ, eventually it's going to get old. Okay? In the same way that we've bought our children toys and they're like the new hot thing for a month, and then a month after that, they're over it, they want something else. When your life is built around stuff and materialism, it's going to be the same way. You're never going to feel like you have enough. There's always going to be something else that you want. The only thing that's going to completely satisfy you and will not get old is the Lord. I can promise you that. Let me give you another example. I think another prevalent Sodom, if you will, in our society is wanting to fit in. And not just fit in, but fit in with the right people. Some of us will compromise with what we know is right and wrong in order to fit in, because we want to fit in with this group over here or that group over there. If you really have to compromise what you think is right or wrong, are those people worth being around? Are they really? You know, I remember when Rachel and I moved to Sanford. Yeah, I'm going to share this story. I had to think for a second. You know, we bought our first house, right? I mean, I liked the house. It wasn't like a mansion or anything. I thought it was a nice house. And about 2 months later, this guy came up to me and he said, "Listen, we're moving and you need to buy our house." And I said, "I just bought my house." He goes, "Yeah, but mine's in this neighborhood." And I said, "Okay, well, how big is it?" "It was smaller." "How new is it?" "It was older. It only had one bathroom." You know, and in every way that I could think of, his house was not as nice as mine, but it was in that neighborhood, and that's where the right kind of people live. And I had never really experienced that. It really weirded me out. There are a lot of people who it's more important to them to fit in with the right people than it is that they be around decent people. And if you let it, that desire to fit in, that desire to be in with the right crowd, it will consume you in the same way that Sodom consumed Lot. You'll start compromising. You'll do things that don't even make you happy in order to fit in with those people. I'm telling you, this stuff, it starts in middle school, and there are adults who never grow out of this garbage. They're still like middle school kids worried about fitting in with the cool people, and it's not godly. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. Let me read you this verse. Lot is actually talked about in the New Testament too. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. It said, "And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard." Look at that. Scripture says that Lot's soul was tormented by the deeds of the people that he was living with, and yet he still stayed in the city. Think about that. Even though his soul was being tormented by these wicked people, he decided to stay in the city. When you become obsessed with and build your life around fitting in, around being with the right crowd, that's what you'll do. You'll put up with things that you should not put up with just because you want to fit in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Some of you need to make better decisions about who you're spending your time with, who you're trying to spend time with, and some of you need to make better decisions on who your children are spending time with. Does that make sense? I know there's probably somebody out there who's thinking, well, wait a minute, Jacob, that sounds kind of judgmental. Jesus always hung out with sinners. Right, I hear you, but you're not Jesus, okay? because I get that thrown in my face a lot, you know. You're not Jesus, okay? Jesus Christ was literally tempted by Satan himself and did not give in. I don't think any of us are on that level, okay, first of all. However, I'll give you some wiggle room. If you're telling me, Jacob, I'm spending time with these people because I want to witness to them, I want to share the gospel with them, this person who I shouldn't be hanging out with, I'm spending time with them because I'm trying to lead them to Christ, great, sure, if that's what's going on. But if you're spending time with those people just because they're the right people, you're making a very poor decision that's going to end up haunting you later, okay? Let me give you one last one. And I know this last example is going to seem kind of out of place, but I didn't pick these sins randomly. These are things that I feel like we compromise with, we start off dabbling in, and then it kind of pulls us in, okay? So the last example I want to give you is you need to be careful with your entertainment and your media. You need to be careful with what you're watching and what you're reading, what you've got playing in your house, what you've got playing in your car, okay? These are things that we start off dabbling with, compromising with. Well, it's not that bad. And then things that at first kind of repulse us all of a sudden don't bother us that much, and then they don't bother us at all. And then we're giggling about things that God thinks are an abomination, okay? I think that most of us will agree that the majority of what's on television right now is just like trash, right? Like, does everybody at least, the majority of it is trash? Will you agree with me on that? Okay, here's the thing. It should really, really bother all of us, the amount of sexuality that's on television, the amount of weird politics. It should bother us just the graphic violence. It should bother us. Do you guys know that, like, they deliberately designed the news and TV to affect your emotions? Like, this crowd right here wants you to be afraid all the time, and this crowd right here wants you to be angry all the time. That should bother you also, like you're being manipulated. The majority of what is on television is not good for us or our kids. It's not. Like, the days of taking your child on Saturday morning and just turning on cartoons and knowing that everything's cool, those are gone. Being able to say, well, it's Sesame Street, I'm sure that's going to be fine, that's gone. It's not like that anymore, okay? Rachel takes our kids to the public library like every single week, and we can't even just let them grab whatever book they want anymore. Now, let me stop. The two ladies who work with the kids at the public library, love them. I'm pretty sure they're Christians, okay? They're awesome, so I'm not knocking them. But whoever's picking out the books for the children's section, you can't even trust that. You can ask Rachel. A while back, the boys picked up a book. I think it was about like a grizzly bear that decided that he was really a duck. And all the other animals were like telling him, you can't be a duck because you're a grizzly bear. And he was like, no, I'm a duck. And at the end, he was like saying that he was a duck. Okay, this is in the children's section. And it might not have been a grizzly, but it was some kind of animal. You can't even take your kids to the public library and turn them loose in the children's section anymore. And that's by design. We have to be diligent and paying attention to the media, the television shows, the books, the video games that not only our kids, but that we are taking in, because it affects us. And things that we start off knowing are wrong, we start getting really comfortable with, and it pulls us in, and we'll end up watching things that we never thought we would have watched or read. And listen, don't misunderstand me. Like, I love movies. I really love movies. I really love books. I really like video games. I know some of y'all will roll your eyes, but you hired a 35-year-old pastor. I like video games too, okay? But part of my job as a husband and a father is to make sure that that stuff is not used by the devil to rot my children's brains or to give them a wicked, godless worldview, or that it doesn't distract my family so much that we have no interest in the things of God. And those things will happen if you let them. I used to work I used to work at a place that had a preschool, and it would always blow my mind because there would be like nine-year-olds with cell phones, with unlimited internet access, and nobody's monitoring like what they're looking at, okay? Some of us need to do a better job of what our kids are watching, what they're reading, how much screen time they have, because the devil will use those things to mess with your kids. And it's grown people too. Listen, you know, a couple of years ago, there was a book series. Rachel's going to roll her eyes because she knows what I'm talking about. There was a book series that, like, everybody in the world was talking about was supposed to be so great. And I thought, great, okay, I'll read it. And I was reading it one night in bed. I was like, oh, this is pretty good. Rachel's passed out, snoring. I'm reading it. And the first four chapters were phenomenal, okay? And then I get to this one page. I was like, oh, my goodness. And it was, like, the most graphic thing I've ever read. I thought, I don't want her to wake up and ask what I'm reading. It was horrible, you know. And I really wanted to finish this book. But sometimes, as a believer, you're going to have to say, this is not honoring God. This is not good for me to be looking at or taking a part of. And you're going to have to decide, I'm going to pass on that, okay? You're going to have to do that. Otherwise, you're compromising and you're pitching your tent next to Sodom. In the beginning of Genesis 19, this is the story where the angels show up in Sodom. You remember this? Something that really stood out to me is these two guys who happen to be angels walk into Sodom, and Lot is sitting there, and he sees them come in. And the first thing that comes into Lot's mind is, I got to hide these guys. Otherwise, the entire town is going to try to rape them. Okay, I told you to send your kids away. Okay, that's what's in the Bible. Lot is there at the front of town, and as soon as strangers come in, Lot goes, I got to get them out of here because all the men in this town are going to try to rape these two guys. And when I read it, the two things that come to my mind are, one, what happened to Lot the first time that he came to town? And two, if you are somewhere where that's the first thing that comes to your mind, why are you still living there? All of us agree that the majority of what is on television and the internet and a lot of books is absolute trash. But how many of us always have the TV playing in the background? We don't pay any attention to what's on the radio when we're driving. If you're not using discretion and being smart with the media that comes into your house and what your kids or your grandkids are watching and listening to, you're basically taking your children and plopping them down in Sodom and assuming that nothing bad is going to happen. And it's going to happen, okay? Look at me. If you're not using your discretion, both for your kids and you, if you're not paying attention, something bad will happen. And I know some of you are thinking, well, I'm grown. I can probably watch whatever I want to watch. It's not going to be that big of a deal. Well, you say that, and yet 84% of the men in America are supposed to be addicted to pornography. So apparently some of us shouldn't be watching anything and it'd be okay. Does that make sense? I'm talking little kids and grown people need to pay attention to what you're dabbling with and taking in. All right? Let me just encourage you guys. Be like Abraham. Don't be like Lot. Abraham decided that whether it makes sense or not, I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to build my life around honoring Him. Be like that. Because even though it did not make sense at the time, we see that Abraham was blessed and was better off. God is more faithful than anything that this world has to offer. I told you that we're going to be talking about God's faithfulness in this series. A lot of these things we've talked about today are things that people depend on to take care of them. They depend on their wealth and their stuff. They depend on being in the right crowd with the right people. They depend on their media to entertain them. Those things will let you down. Eventually, you'll run out of money. Eventually, the stuff will not fulfill you. Eventually, you won't be able to buy somebody's love. And these friends that you spent so much time trying to impress and fit in with, they're going to let you down too sometimes. God is more faithful. Build your life around God follow God. He will not let you down. He is more faithful than anything this world has to offer. The verse that I'm going to close with this morning, Psalm 36:5, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." In just a minute, Sherry's going to come up and she's going to have an invitational hymn for us. And if you've been listening to me talk and you think, you know, I think that I've been building my life around the wrong thing. I think that I've been depending on stuff or people or myself. I really need to be dependent on God. If that's you, I'd love to talk with you about that now or some other time. If you're looking for a church home, somewhere that loves the Lord, somewhere that wants to tell people about Jesus and share the gospel, we'd love to have you join us. I'm going to be down front. Sherry. Sure.